So I wonder how often you find yourself using the phrase labor of love. So often we have these phrases in our vernacular and we assume they come from the Bible. And so often you hear me saying that one's not from the Bible. This one is. Labor of love, did you know, comes out of the Bible from 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remember without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and the patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. And it comes again in Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labors of love, which you have shown in God's name as you ministered to the saints. A labor of love, that thing you do because of your heart, not because of a paycheck, not because of a reward. We often call children a labor of love. This speaks particularly to me as I labored on Labor Day 9 years ago and gave birth to a lovely child we're celebrating today. But labor of love is also the work of churches. It is our work that we do as well. So this morning I'm going to be asking, what are your labors of love? In our gospel lesson, we find Jesus laboring to heal people. First, we find him negotiating with the Syrophoenician woman, a woman who comes, like many do, asking for healing. And we kind of know this pattern. We expect someone will ask Jesus for healing, and he will respond and teach the crowd that is present. That's not what happens here. This circumstance seems to be different. First, Jesus calls the woman, did you catch it? She calls him a dog, calls her a dog, excuse me. And this isn't intended like those cute, snuggly little puppies you want to lick your face and see all the time. No. In the historical context, dogs were not yet domesticated. They were scavengers at the edge of villages that you kept out of your house. They didn't bring companionship or protection. You didn't think of them as pets. This was a cultural insult. A woman from the region of Syrophoenician, a place where the Israelites never went. Can you imagine places today that we might say and not intend to be very pleasant? This is a cultural insult. Now, some people have suggested that Jesus was testing the faith of the woman, and perhaps he was. But as I thought about this and struggled with it all week, the Jesus I know in the Gospels, the Jesus I know in my life, seems to have had a bad day. Do you remember the beginning? The beginning of it said he went away to be by himself in his own space. Imagine an introvert in this moment. He was ready for his own time and his own space. And people were pushing in against him. He was having a bad day, and he needed someone with persistence and commitment to draw him back to the straight and the narrow. Jesus is not his best self in this moment, and the woman calls him on it. Can you imagine being the woman who calls Jesus on not being who he said he was going to be? Jesus, as Jesus does, repents immediately of cultural context that led him to respond in this way, doesn't defend the status quo. He offers healing. And then we have another healing story as well. Now, I wonder if you've ever experienced that kind of moment where you need to be called on something. I wonder if there's someone in your life who knows your stories, your love, your value so intimately that they can call you on it. You said you were going to do this. Why is it that you're doing that? Perhaps, in the best case, this is a spouse, this is a friend. Whoever it is for you, I wonder if you don't do it for them as well. It's a labor of love. A labor of love when we call out our friends who have said, I'm a generous person, but they refuse to give. It's a labor of love when we remind our siblings who have said, I no longer want to act like I did when I was 10, when they're doing that behavior at 35, 65, and 85. It's a labor of love when we hear someone say, I am a Christian, and then spout words that we can't imagine are Christian values, and we say, how would Jesus respond to hearing that? Those are not easy labors, but those are labors of love. It was a labor of love when Jesus moved from the healing of the Syrophoenician woman's daughter and walked to the region of Decapolis. He wasn't able to rest, but instead was brought a man who was deaf and had an impediment of speech. Jesus doesn't turn them away this time. In fact, he does the physical work of healing. Did you hear it in the scripture? He puts his fingers in his ears, he spits, and he touches the tongue of the man who had become deaf. The labor of love was physical for him. It was a labor of love as he healed not just one, but two in this passage. I think the gospel writer is trying to get us to figure something out here about what it is to follow Jesus. The first healing story includes a woman who had been beat down and needs to speak out for that which she needs. The second story, in direct contrast, is a man who has no voice, who needs his friend to speak and to do on his behalf. The vocation of following Jesus includes both. For you and I who have a voice and need to speak up, and for you and I who have no voice and need to depend on the labors of love from others. The vocation of following Jesus is physical and emotional. It's unpredictable and absolutely essential. Any of us who have any touches of Roman Catholic in our experiences hear the word vocation that I keep repeating and might begin to imagine I'm going to talk about celibacy. I promise I'm not talking this morning about celibacy. I'm not talking about sisters or brothers or priests. Even in the mainline church, we've thought vocation just means those who put on robes and preach in the moment. Vocation is more than that. Vocation is that which we've been called to do. Frederick Buchner has a wonderful quote. You see it up ahead of you. It might be hard to read. Let me share it with you. He says, the place that God calls you is where your gladness and the world's greatest need meet. Vocation is where your greatest gladness and the world's deepest need meet together. There are so many ways in which we as a people are called. Perhaps you are called to a work that cares for you and your family. There are certainly those among us who are called to be teachers and to be preachers, to be nurses and to be scientists, to be administrators and to be law enforcement folk. But our jobs are not always our vocations. Our jobs are not all that we are. Sometimes our jobs are those things which provide housing and food and clothing, and the most basic needs to our family. I can imagine most of us know someone who have made their job their identity. They're the kind of folks that when we sit at family picnics, all we hear are stories about work and not expanding beyond to the world that surrounds us. There are folks who don't have as much time for the family and the friends, the labors of love to which they've been called. There are those of us who, when we're asked in a social situation, what do you do? Respond with the employment that occupies our time instead of all that God has called us to be as well. As I was thinking about vocation, I couldn't help but think about a poem I shared yesterday at the memorial service for Mabel Romanowski. This comes out of a book that Helen Carlin gave me this season. It says this, "This be my day, some honest work, a bit of play, to laugh, to love, to live, to pray, with God beside me all the way. This be my day." I couldn't think of a better description of what vocation looks like. Vocation is the way in which we walk our discipleship with Christ. In God, we find a delight of work to which we are called. We mirror that which God did in creation. After each thing that was made, God said, "And it was good." And God said, after people were made, they were very good. It's important for us to remember these things on a Labor Day weekend. Do you know that Labor Day itself was the result of valuing people above products? It was back in 1894 after the Pullman strike. Remember your American history just a bit. Horrible strike in which lives were compromised. 6 days later, President Cleveland signed into law Labor Sunday, as it first was, a day in which we would call the people of the land to education and justice about labor practices. Do you know what church was at the center of that movement? It was the Methodist Church that was at the center of that movement, reminding us that people are more important than products. Labor Day reminds us our vocation is that we labor together. We cannot achieve God's work or the work to which we are called without one another. Each product, service, and person requires the fullness of the village. You and I determine how we labor and what we do with that labor, but it is together that we bring it into being. Those of us who provide security or teach children, those of us who manufacture products or fly airplanes, those of us who balance budgets or collect taxes, God bless them, tend fields and prepare foods, each one labors. Each one is called to labors of love. Regardless of how else, God continues to call us to labor with God in these ways. If God's ultimate goal is to have the kingdom of heaven here on earth, the prayer that we pray, it is because of our co-laboring with God that it comes to be. Our vocation is love. Our labor is how we live out love. We labor for the gospel when we decide to take seriously that God has not only called us, but God has gifted us for the vocations that we have individually. We labor for the gospel when we feed the hungry, when we clothe the naked, when we visit the imprisoned, when we care for the poor, and when we look in the faces of our brothers and sisters, and we see God in the midst of their faces. So this weekend, perhaps you're going to enjoy a burger on the grill. Sounds good. Perhaps you're going to get some of the Labor Day shopping deals. Also a great idea. Perhaps you're going to cut the lawn in the midst of this four-day weekend. I want to encourage you also to consider where God is calling you. What is your vocation in living out the labor of love? How is God co-laboring with you to bring heaven here on earth? This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.